Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tanell, for today, October 27th. Tonight we have an exciting show for you. We are answering your beauty industry questions. But first, let me just remind you that the call-in number, if you have a question or a comment, is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. So if you have a question or a comment, please press the option to speak with the host. And I do believe that's option number one. That's only if you have a question or comment. Now I'm going to turn it over to Denise for some beauty news.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's show. Really excited about this because we get tons of emails and things like that asking different questions about the industry. So this is going to be really good just to kind of get some things out there, let everyone hear what some of the questions are. People can call in and call in with their questions as well, or tweet them on our tweet chat or on our BBM group page. You can leave your questions there, or even our BBM channel. You can leave your questions there as well, or Facebook, and we will be sure to try to get to all of them or most of them anyway. And hopefully, you know, the questions that we bring up tonight, just hopefully those will be questions that a lot of people are interested in, and so that we can, you know, get them answered for everybody. But very briefly, I just wanted to mention some makeup conferences or shows that's coming up for the remainder of this year, and they're all taking place in November, of course. First up, if you live in the Atlanta area, and if you're planning to travel to the Atlanta area, we have PMAC, which is the Professional Makeup Artist Conference here in Atlanta, and that'll be November 8th through 10th, and that's a Saturday, a Sunday, and a Monday, November 8th through 10th. And for more information on PMAC, you can go to PMACExpo.com. That's PMACExpo.com. And then next up will be the Makeup Show Orlando, and that will be a Saturday and Sunday, November 15th through 16th. And for more information on that show, you can go to themakeupshow.com. Again, that's themakeupshow.com. And last but not least, you have IMATS Toronto. And that show is November 22nd and 23rd. And that, again, is a Saturday and Sunday. Again, November 22nd through 23rd. And for more information on the IMATS show, you can go to imats.net. And that's imats.net. And very briefly, just for those people who have attended the shows, especially I think we used to attend IMATS probably for like 11 or 12 years in a row. But for people who attend the different trade shows, be sure that you're not just attending the trade shows just so that you can get makeup, just so that you can meet up with your friends. You know, make sure you're attending the shows because you're trying to advance your career, number one. Two, because you, you know, you want that education, you know, because you're working so much all the time that you really hardly ever have a chance to, you know, get out and take a class. Or maybe you don't think some of the classes that are being offered are classes for you. Be sure that when you go to these expos, you're getting something out of it besides just buying more makeup and meeting up with your friends. Because, I mean, sometimes people don't necessarily pay to get into the shows. Sometimes people do pay to get into shows, and it's not that expensive. But when you're there, please make sure that you're, number one, spending your money wisely, because I'm a victim, and Janice can tell you we've done it time and time again. You know, you get, especially early on in your careers when you're going to the shows, you get crazy, and you start buying all this makeup and all this stuff, and then stuff just sits around from year after year, and you go to the show again the next year, and you're buying more stuff, and now you've got all this stuff, no real place to store it all, and you can't use it fast enough. But the one thing that we did do when we went to the shows, we did, you know, take the time to take the classes. You know, we had classes on lighting, you know, classes on laying hair, you know, applying beards and mustaches and, you know, laying hair, things like that. So be sure that you're going to these shows to get the education. And if the shows aren't offering you the education that you think you need or the education that you would like, please start reaching out to the people who put the shows together. You know, if you're, you know, good friends with people from the Powder Group, let them know what you want to see. If you're friends with people, if you're friends with Mike T or people who are, you know, some of the vendors at the IMATS, let them know what you want to see. You know, even with PMAC, if you attend PMAC and it's not what you want, you know, let the organizers know exactly what you want to see so that you can get out of the expo what you need to get out of the expo. So that's it for my beauty news.
All right. I mean, that's a great suggestion. It's definitely making sure you go there for an education. It's very, very important. And I wanted to add something to what you said about buying products. Even though mm-hmm. we bought a lot of products early on, I will say one thing. Before I went to those trade shows, I did my research in one way or another. And so when I went to those shows, yes, I was buying a lot of products, but I was buying a lot of products that I thought that I would need. I knew that my interest lied in film and television, so I was buying a lot of products that were being used on, that I actually saw being used on an independent film that I worked on by another makeup artist, and I just made notes as to what she had in her kit, things that, you know, she used, and she told me what she used certain things for. And so, you know, like anti-shine and things like that, I made a list. And then when I went to those shows and I saw those products, I picked them up. So, you know, if you're going to go and buy a lot of products, it would be wise if you did your research and knew why you were purchasing some of the products that you were going to purchase. You know, instead of just, okay,
oh, exactly.
I love this pretty eyeshadow or, you know what I mean? Instead of, you know, we all have tons of eyeshadow palettes and we all have tons of lipstick. But, you know, like, if you are working in a certain area in makeup and you know that certain products are needed, it would be wise to pick those products up, you know, at the trade show.
Right.
I just wanted to kind
of
piggyback
exactly
a little
what,
bit on
of
what
course,
you were saying.
That's what we both did early on. You know, those, you know, you kind of, like you said, you kind of looked at, like, those makeup artists that were working in film and TV. You kind of watched what they were doing. You saw the products that they were buying, and then, you know, you went to the shows to buy those products. But see, the difference between then and now especially like let's just say, because back then it was just IMAX. When you went to IMAX, that's pretty much all that was there was products for film and TV. You know, they of course there was, you know, there was some beauty makeup, but mainly makeup for film and television. So if that was your focus, then that was the show that you attended. You know what I mean? Well, well, like I said before, that was the only show at the time. So you really had no, you really couldn't get crazy with buying stuff because some of that film and television stuff is expensive anyway. So, you know, like I said, you focused on just that anyway. But now when you have the makeup show, you have PMAC, and I'm sure there are tons of other shows all over the world. So now more beauty products are so hard and heavy at these shows that you go from one extreme to the next. You have NARS, and then you have City Color, or you have Lime Crime, and then you have NYX. So, you know, so you have so much. It's easy to get caught up in buying a lot of product nowadays.
Well, you know, also speaking of IMAX, not to stay on the trade show topic, but speaking of IMAX back then, even though it was heavily focused on film and television, there were a lot of beauty products. Exhibitors there. You know, you had MAC Cosmetics, you had Makeup Forever. Nobody really knew about Makeup Forever back then. So you did have your select few brands that were there. But then you also had a huge number of airbrush cosmetic companies popping up.
Right.
And you did see a lot more of, like your lash extensions, before lash extensions, really, really got popular. You did see that a lot, and people doing demonstrations as well as selling the supplies there. So you saw a lot of that kind of stuff as well.
And what's so funny is, speaking of like the airbrush companies, OCC back then, like the early 2000s, like 2001, 2002-ish, OCC was selling airbrush makeup. That was their thing long before the lip tars.
Yeah.
So it's just funny. Yeah, so it's just funny to see, you know, how far they've come as far as, you know, focusing on which was really the popular thing, well, starting to become the popular thing back then was airbrushing. And then now, you know, we're getting more into color cosmetics.
Airbrushing, I wanted to address a question. Because someone asked the question, you know, should you know how to airbrush for film and television? And my answer to that is absolutely. Not only just film and television, but for all makeup jobs, whether it's a wedding, whether it's a photo shoot, airbrush, knowing how to airbrush makeup comes in handy with no matter, you know, how you're going to use it or what, you know, what the medium is. And,
right.
You know, like you said, back then it was starting to become really popular, popping up everywhere. And then at one time it was, you know, that was the thing. Everybody was airbrushing. Now you don't hear about it as much. People are still airbrushing, of course, but you don't hear about it as much. But I feel like it's a cool, and I think I addressed this on the show a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's something that every makeup artist should know how to do. You may not want to go out and purchase all the equipment and the guns and things like that and the makeup, but I think it's something that every makeup artist should do. So I would advise, even if you don't have the equipment, to at least try to take a class. And normally when you take classes, they normally provide that, or at least the classes I took anyway, would provide
right.
the equipment. I do advise every makeup artist to know how to airbrush. If you're really serious about makeup as a career, I really suggest it. Now, there are a lot of makeup artists out there who will tell you, oh, you don't have to know how to airbrush. And that may be true. You don't have to know how to airbrush. But honestly, I always suggest it because you never know what the client is going to suggest.
Right.
And the reason they suggest it. So a lot of clients are educated on whether they're your actors and actresses or whether they're, everyday working women, somebody's getting married, it doesn't matter. A lot of people are educated on what airbrush makeup is, you know, the whole process, and they don't know exactly how it's going to change their look. So I would suggest always knowing how to do it, whether you know do it or not, whether you keep the equipment in your kit or not, learn how to airbrush.
Right. Right, absolutely.
I really do suggest it.
I mean, it's just another tool anyway. It can't hurt.
Mm-mm.
And no, you might enjoy it. I love to airbrush. You might enjoy it, and not just for, spraying foundation or anything like that, but just you might want to get more into body painting, and it's
mm-hmm.
and it's great for that.
The thing about makeup, whether you're using makeup brushes to paint a face. We're using the airbrush to paint a face. When you mentioned body painting, a lot of times we body paint by hand or
mm-hmm.
an airbrush to body paint. So I just think it's always great to be able to know how to do one or the other. Well, not one or the other, but actually both, so that you can do either one or the other. It's just more options.
Right.
Because you don't know what the job is going to require, and sometimes using one may make the whole process easier than the other. So... that's my answer to that question.
Now, someone asked me a question just today, actually. What is a quick method for getting talent out of the chair on a film or television project?
You said a quick lesson?
No, what is a quick method?
Oh, method.
Yes, for getting talent out of your chair if you're working on a film or television project. Well, oftentimes when you're working on a film or television project, you know, you're going to have your first, well, not your first, but like your second AD or PA who's assigned to, you know, getting hair and makeup and wardrobe, like getting the actors through hair, makeup, and wardrobe. You're going to always have someone who's like, you know, making sure the actors get through hair, makeup, and wardrobe and keeping up with time and letting each department know how much time they have left before the actors do on set and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, in my opinion, one of the very best things to do, especially if you know that your actor can be a little picky at times or it's just something about them, like they're slow about getting into your chair, they like to come onto the hair and makeup trailer and, you know, talk to people first and things like that. I think one of the best things for you to do, you know how there's some of us who say, oh, we do foundation first, and some to say, you know, we do eyeshadow first. I think one of the very best things to do is to focus on getting the skin first. So focusing on getting that foundation done first, because if something happens and they pull that actor out of your chair and the actor now has to get dressed and go to set, then you always want to make sure that skin is covered first. Make sure the skin is camera ready first, okay? Then after that, then you can go and start working on the eyes. Because this is what you're going to have an opportunity to do if your actor is pulled out of your chair and all you've done was foundation and eye makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to set, there's going to be times when the actors are going to rehearse. There's going to be times when the lighting department may have to make some adjustments and tweak a couple of lights and things like that. You're going to have a few minutes to sneak in there and add to what you've already done. So you'll have time to go in, throw their lips on. You'll have time to go in. If you have to at the last minute, put their lashes on. You'll have and even the actor can kind of help you out with that time a little bit. The actor can kind of say, you know, hold on a second, I need to get my lashes on, or hold on, my lashes came off, or whatever. They can kind of help you a little bit and get you a little more time. You know, you can go in, you can add eyeshadow if you need to. You can do brows if you need to. But if you get those basics, which is getting that foundation on, and then, you know, starting to work on those eyes, even if you just got the brows done and the eyeshadow done, it takes no time at all to do lashes and eyeliner and a little mascara if you have to. But more importantly, your best thing is to work as quick as you can work. You know, you can sit there, you can have a conversation while you're doing the makeup. But stay focused on your job at hand and get the makeup done as quickly as possible. If the actor is not coming in, getting into your chair, and you can't get them into your chair, that's when you need to go to that AD and tell them, you know, so-and-so's not in my chair and she's talking and I can't get her to get into my chair. Can you please help me out? Like, we have to be more proactive in getting that assistance that we need to get that actor moving. We can't just sit there and wait for the actor to show up or wait for, you know, the AD to bring the actor in the chair. If they're supposed to be in the hair and makeup trailer going through the works and they're not, then it's our responsibility to go to that AD and find out why.
That's a great point.
So once that actor gets in your chair, again, like I said, get that foundation on, start those eyes, and if your actor gets pulled, at least that's done. Then all you do is go in and just touch up, because you're going to have time for touch up. Do you have anything to add to that?
So
do you think of anything differently?
I mean, basically, I was just going to comment basically on the part when you were just saying, you know, getting the skin ready first and everything. You know, some people work the opposite way. They do the, you know, the shadow first and then the skin. But I do agree in this situation, you have to do, get that skin right first. Now, if you have someone, if you have someone who has beautiful skin and could really look like they could almost go out there without makeup on, then maybe you can do the eyes, really, you know, first, really quickly, and then, for instance, if they pull them, go to set and kind of, you know, do some work on the skin a little, you know, once you get out there. But I really don't suggest that, though. But like I said, if it's someone who has really good skin, you may be able to work on it depending on how much time you have out there. But the thing is that you never know how much time you're going to have when you get to set. They may rush you up there, get lighting situation. So they may say, okay, we're getting ready to light, and lighting may be 5 minutes. So, you know, if you think you can get that skin together in 5 minutes, you know, great. But I'm not going to say that that's going to be able to happen, you know, it's going to happen that way all the time. You know, you have different actors, different skin situations. Everybody's different. You don't know what kind of time you're going to be dealing with on set. Just like you said, I think it's probably best when you do the skin first. You can work the eyes last. You know, if somebody is wearing lashes, maybe you can put those lashes on while you're doing the skin, and then at least they kind of have a made up look before they get there. But the key to it all again is just learning how to work extremely fast. But I will say, getting into a rhythm, it takes some time. You know, you're not going to get it the first day. You may not even get it the second day. You know, maybe by the end of the week, you know, by the end of the week, you'll have it down. And then it'll get to the point where it's almost like you can do that makeup with your eyes closed. You know.
Right.
But it's getting a rhythm takes time. So in your own situation, you know, actually, because, you know, if that person has an hour in the makeup chair, you know, 45 minutes to an hour in the hair chair, and then a lot of times they can take that time from you in one way or another. So it's best if you're sitting there waiting on the actor and 10 minutes has gone by, it's time before 10 minutes, actually it's time for you to get up and say, hey, you know, where's my actor? Because they're taking part of the time. So so that everybody looks good in more ways than one, you know, we got to get up and help ourselves. So I totally agree with what you just said.
Now, in the tweet chat, Aisha Tiffany says, directors, assistant directors, and PAs are not the enemies. Let me repeat that.
Sometimes they feel like it.
Directors, assistant directors, and PAs are not the enemies. Get the actors to the chair and out of the chair. But, yes, sometimes it feels like they are the enemy. But
yes, it does.
Basically, they're there to help you. And that's the thing. I think, you know, the ADs and PAs and the hair, makeup, and wardrobe, I think we all need to find a way to work together, especially when it comes to that actor. Even if we don't work together on anything else, when it comes to that actor and getting people in and out of hair and makeup, we all need to find a way to honestly, truly work together.
Right.
Let's see. Shantina Brightman at Style Degree on Twitter is asking, what's the best way to gain clientele if you decide to become a freelance artist? What's the best way to gain clientele if you decide to become a freelance artist? In my opinion,
well,
I think one of the best ways to gain clientele if you decide to become a freelance artist is, number one, tell people what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be a freelance makeup artist? Let everybody know that that's what you want to do. Your family, your friends, people that you come in contact with, anybody that you're networking with, let them know that you want to be a freelance makeup artist. Matter of fact, let them know that you are a freelance makeup artist.
Right.
So if they know
right.
someone that needs a makeup artist, you're available. That I think that's the best way when you're starting out. That's how you'll gain clientele. If you're working in a retail environment, you know, let people know that you work outside of that retail environment. If they have someone that they know that's getting married or if they're getting married themselves, let them know that you can do that outside of, you know, that retail establishment. Being in retail is one of the best ways of gaining clientele.
Yeah, that would be my comment.
Yeah, people see you there. They see you're doing the makeup. You know, they know you can do the makeup. So, you know, they trust you can get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the fastest ways to build up a bridal clientele or prom clientele.
Yeah, so true. And you know what? I also think when you participate in, like, beauty events and those type of events where everyday women attend, whether it's an expo or somebody's having, you know, like, I wanted to say like a beauty suite, but something that's not attached to anything in entertainment, you know, just everyday women. Mm-hmm. When you participate in those type of events, if it's in a town, you're participating in a town where you live, that's a great opportunity to speak up and tell these people that's in your chair, you know, this is what you do. These are the services that you offer, you know. And especially if they ask questions, because, you know, a lot of times women are always, when they get in your chair, they're always watching what you're doing and asking questions about what you're using because they're trying to learn how to do their makeup better, you know. So if you're very comfortable as a newbie, if you're very comfortable with your skill, then that's something that you could offer to women when you get someone in your chair, you know, and they're asking a bunch of questions. Let them know that you are available to show them or to help them outside of that event that you're working, or that job that you're working. I think that's
right.
A great way to build. And, you know, everyday women as clients, you know, they will be repeat clients.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, if you do a prom for somebody, like if somebody, you know, you met somebody, let's say at the makeup counter and you did their makeup and they really liked it and you let them know that you do makeup outside of that counter, then their daughter the following year has a prom. You do that prom and they really like the makeup and they're telling their friends. I know there's one young lady that I did a prom for, a friend of mine that lived in my neighborhood. And the friend that I'm talking about, I did her wedding, and then she referred her girlfriend to me, whose daughter needed prom makeup. I did her prom. The young lady came back to me the next year for her prom, told me she wanted me to do her wedding whenever she got married. But I got so many jobs off of that one person. So it's also, you know, just letting people know that you do this all the time. You do it for weddings, you do it for proms, you know, whatever the situation may be, dances or whatever it is, whatever they need, you let them just keep talking about it. Tell people what you do at all times.
Right.
I think it's the best thing to do.
Absolutely.
Wanted to know if Aisha would comment on you were talking earlier, you said something about, we were talking about the camera ready skin. And you said make sure the skin is camera ready first. If the actress pulled out of the chair, and she said that she knows this firsthand. So I was just wondering if she would be willing to share that experience with us. So if you are, 399, hold on, let's see. Who do you have here on the line anyway?
Well, meanwhile, she...
Hi, this is Tiffany. Aisha.
Hi.
I was like, well, let me just go ahead and just chime on in and talk to the girl today.
Go ahead.
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
I had I was just recently, earlier this year, we were working on a film and independent project here in Detroit, Michigan. And it was very heavy production schedule, okay? And I'm talking about like 12, 14-hour days.
Mm-hmm.
I think it may have been maybe about 121 scenes or something like that.
Wait, 121 scenes?
Yeah.
In one day?
No, in the movie.
It was a whole project. But on the project, it was a 14-day project. So it was like we were working on almost like 10 scenes.
Gotcha.
10 scenes a day. And there were 12 hour days. And there were many times where we were trying to get multiple people in done in one day because we had talent. Like we had talent that flew into the city. And we were trying to get all of their scenes done in one day. So, for instance, they may have been working, it may be like a day shot from a totally different day, you know, for the scene. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if they're going to shoot the evening shot for the scene 81, even though we got to shoot a morning shot for scene 75. And we're going to do all of that in the same day. Well, it's a different day, different hair, different makeup, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we were trying to shoot, a lot of times the assistant, it'll be the director who will be like, okay, where's hair and makeup? And if we have to do where there's two different days on the same day done, if you kind of understand what I'm saying, two different days done on one day, you have to change all of that. Well, the ADs and the directors, they get a little antsy, and then they send the PAs to like, okay, you know, we got to get them out of hair and makeup, we got to get them in the hair, we got to get them into wardrobe. And that can become very frustrating if you are not used to working under that type of pressure. So I would simply tell someone that, hey, if that's something, when you're getting into film and you're working with film and you're working with different directors, you have to learn to have a thick skin and not necessarily take it personal, but understand that really it's all about the finished project and it's all about the finished product, and they simply just want to get everything done because they're working, you know, they may be working with daylight. Like if this thing has to be done in daylight and let's say it's like 5:00, well, we don't really have time. All that you might have is, you know, 10 minutes. And you, in 10 minutes, you better know how to put that foundation on and you better know how to stick that lash on and powder that skin and get them on set. Because if you don't, it throws the whole production schedule off, and then you're upset at the end of the night when you're there another 2 hours because things aren't.
Let me say this.
Things aren't where they were supposed, where they're supposed to be at.
Let me say this, Aisha. What do you like to be called, Tiffany or Aisha?
Tiffany. Aisha Tiffany is the name of my company. Tiffany Elder. Yeah, that's the name of my company. Tiffany Elder is my name. So Aisha Tiffany Makeup Artistry and Aesthetics is the name of the company that I run and own.
Tiffany. Okay. Let me say this, Tiffany. First of all, I'm excited that you are having or you had that experience, you know, on an independent film. mm-hmm. because it only gets worse on feature film. Like,
oh,
you were talking
heard.
About those long days, and, you know, on average, a 12-hour day is a normal day. And for hair and makeup, a lot of times we'll do a 14-hour day or more because we're always called in before everybody else, the rest of the crew.
Right.
What I wanted to comment on was you talked about doing two script days, is how we refer to it, doing two different script days on the same shoot day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
is this a
situation where you had that firsthand experience with the foundation and all that? I guess because
yes,
you were trying to change the look?
Yes, ma'am, because you're going,
okay.
It was one of those things where we kind of were able to negotiate or kind of talk to the AD a little bit to see if they could actually change the day, because one was a party scene and it was a day scene. Now, they wanted to shoot, for some reason, they wanted to shoot the party scene first because the talent in the scene, they were just coming in from the party. So it was, you know, it's full on makeup. And so we kind of asked them, you know, it's easier for us to build as opposed to, you know, try to take down. The other scene was just like a little, just got up in the morning or whatever. It was just like where the makeup was really basic, where it was just simply like a foundation, some mascara, a little gloss. So we just kind of asked them if they would, for hair and for makeup, it would be easier for us to build up to that as opposed to kind of like take it all the way down. And that's how it kind of worked with us. So we had directors that were very, you know, they asked us, okay, what's going to make it easier for you in wardrobe? And it's also very important that when you are in this particular, I'm sure, because you guys have been doing it forever. I'm just, you know, mm-hmm. I've been doing it the last couple of years. But it is so important that you know how to communicate with other departments and realize that you have to work together. Hair and makeup and wardrobe, you know, they're two or three separate entities, but you have to know how to work together and how to communicate. And you also have to learn how to take those continuity pictures, because it was if somebody has an outfit on and one particular if there's an outfit change, because they want to reshoot another scene and that hair doesn't change, you know, that messes up the continuity. And we've all, in the industry, we've all seen it. We've all seen it in the movies where you're like, wait, oh, she had on pink lipstick. That's not
right.
A wig, really? And so you're hollering out. I don't know, me myself, I'm one of the ones that holler in the screen. Like, continuity, like somebody can hear me, like they can change it. But, you know, but I'm like, I always tell my husband, did you see that? She had on pink lipstick, and now she got on purple. Somebody didn't do something right. This either was shot. You know, I'm explaining to him, and he's like, you know, can we watch the movie? So it's so important for other departments to work together and to be able to communicate, because really at the end of the day, it is all about that project and producing quality work that's going to sell and make money and cause, you know, allow everybody to be successful. There is, when you're on a movie set, you are not a one-man show. You are not a one-man department. Sometimes you might have to be a production assistant. Sometimes you
That's
may
right.
have to grip. You know, you might, well, they may not have to grip, but you may have to pick up and move. You know, you may have to work with the art department. You may have to do different things. When you are new to the set, I'm not saying, first of all, you've got to know your role and be comfortable in that role, but don't be afraid to learn another department and to learn what it is that they do, and always offer to help, because you never really know who you're going to meet on that set. And when, you know, they have a project or that person knows somebody that knows somebody, you know, they'll call on you, be like, not only did she do or did they do hair and makeup, but they did, they helped the art department move blood or something. And the other young lady that I work with, her name is Kristen Ashley Rogers. Kristen does the special effects and beauty and everything. And so, and we on this project, we did hair and makeup together, and she does special effects. Now, I don't particularly know special effects. I can't even say that I have a desire to learn special effects. Like, I can do, you know, little blood. I can do your bruising. I can do...
Let me stop you really quick. Let me stop you really quickly, mm-hmm. Tiffany. You're going to be a makeup artist for film and television? Learn to do a little special effects. That might not be your specialty.
Yes, ma'am.
Might not be something that you want to do or love to do, but learn to do, learn some of the basics, if anything, how to do a bruising.
Yeah, like, you don't have to learn, like, you don't have to learn how to make prosthetic pieces.
Okay,
but
so
but at least try to learn how to apply them.
I know how to apply them. Thank you.
Okay.
Chris. I know how to apply them. I know how to paint them, and everything. I guess you could say I should say when I say special effects, I think of your.
You don't have to create a monster. So.
Yeah, I'm thinking of monsters, but I can do your scars. I can do your blood,
yeah.
Your bruising.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the you know, if somebody, like, if Law and Order called tomorrow and said, hey, you know, we need you to come on set to do, you know, I'm just putting that out there in the atmosphere, Jesus.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. But if they call tomorrow and say, you know, we need you to do, you know, make it look like this girl got a black eye, I can do that, you know,
good.
Or age. I can do aging. So I do the light special effects, but, like, the heavy stuff. Not so much, but, you know,
okay.
I know that I know I can recognize it. I know how to clean it up if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
But other
mm-hmm.
than that, you know, that's just one particular area, like your gore and your science. I guess you could say your science
right.
fiction special effects. I'm thinking Face Off.
More than likely, if a show requires that type of special effects, more than likely, you as the makeup artist won't be doing that anyway. It's probably
mm-hmm.
You're probably going to have a team of special effects makeup artists that's doing
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you wouldn't have to worry about that anyway. I mean, you might be required to do some of the basic stuff like the
mm-hmm.
bruising and a little blood here or there or bullet wound or whatever. And most
right.
of the times, a lot of times, sometimes whoever the special effects person or team leader is, they'll just do that stuff for you. So
right.
you kind of just work with them to figure out who's going to be responsible for what. But as far as creating, you know, monsters and zombies and all that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff, that's stuff they're going to do because you're going to have more than enough to do anyway.
Perfect.
Just with your other makeup. But I want to go back to
But that's right. But that's also goes with, you know, knowing your role, being confident in what it is that you can do, understanding the things
right.
that you cannot do, and being
right.
able to work and be able to have an open mind to learn other things. Like, I'm open to it. I'm certainly open to seeing how it is because I've seen how prosthetics is are put on. And I do recognize that some of that is some camera, quote-unquote camera magic that
mm-hmm.
that's done after you've kind of been behind the scenes. And you're like, oh, that's what you're doing. It's nothing but, you know, I don't know, I guess just say a Q-tip, you know, holding something together. But that just goes to show, you know, goes to, as if you're going to be in the film industry, just being open to all avenues and learning the industry and the different parts, the different departments. And first of all, let me say thank you, because I'm, like, even honored to even, like, that y'all even would say, hey, Tiffany, can you answer a question? So I just think,
oh, wow.
I thank you guys for even just providing such a outlet and such a vehicle of information and of education to makeup artists like me. A lot of people I know listen to you. A lot of people, you know, I've looked up to you guys for years, and I remember seeing you both in Sophisticated Best Hair. So I was like, who are
mm-hmm.
these twins down here in this little corner little picture? Like, oh, okay. And I just kind of followed you guys and realized that this beauty talk was you, you know, beauty talk was you. And so I began to listen and just, you know, I go back in the old archives and I listen and some of the stuff is still, you know, very relevant, and I try to make sure that, you know, I'm listening and I'm actively listening and participating in the conversation. So, I, like I said, I consider it even an honor that you would even mention my name and ask me to comment on something. So thank you. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, absolutely. You're welcome. And thank you for listening and participating.
Absolutely. We thank you for your continued support week after week. You end up chat room chatting and tweeting. And we appreciate that. And we just appreciate you, you know, stepping up and wanting to talk about it and ask questions, because I know there's a lot of people out there who may be a little shy or what have you, and but they're wondering the same thing, and they want to know the questions. Like I said, I just, when you were talking, when you first got on and you were talking, I was just excited just to hear, you know, the experience that you had, because, you know, even though it was an independent film, it's very much the same experience, like I said, if not worse, on a feature film. And so the fact that, you know, you are at the level where you are and you're getting that experience is great. And so I know that when you get a chance, and you will, get on a feature film or a major, you know, episodic television show, you know,
I received that, absolutely.
Like you said, I'm believing Law and Order for you. So when you get there, you're going to be ready. You're going to be more than ready. So I'm just excited.
I can see that. And I thank you. That coming from you guys means a whole lot. I'm still kind of amped because I just came out of class with Rennie Bassler, and we did a hands-on demo, and you did a hands-on demo, and then we did a look and learn, and it was just, you know, he was just phenomenal as a teacher, and, you know, even more real in person than, you know, hearing him on a call.
Right.
And so I'm just really, you know, I'm just more motivated. And then I looked and I said, oh, it's my time to get on the call and, you know, get on the phone and get on the tweet chat and beauty lounge and everything. And so, like, my family knows, like, okay, 9 o'clock, I'm shutting it down. I'm going in the room for about an hour and a half and I'm going to be tweeting. So, again, I thank you. I did have a question.
I got it pulled up right on my phone too. Is it the one about the?
Did you get? I don't know if it has sent through.
Yeah.
So let me
say this before you ask that question. I just want to go back to this last thing really quickly, because you were talking about shooting like two different scenes in one actual work day. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I find that's very helpful with something like that, especially when you're doing like television. And it's just, you know, you're dealing with the same characters and, you know, their ins and outs of everyday living or whatever. And even in the film, if it doesn't call for blood or if it doesn't call for, you know, anything specific like a party look or, you know, or something like that. And if you know the show is going to be busy like that, especially on a lower budget type project, I just keep it all the same. They have the same look. Every day.
Okay.
And that's when you get in situations like that.
That's exactly what we did. We created the look at the you know, on day one. Also, it's important. All of the stuff that you guys have said over the last month, and the talks that you've even had with Miss Marietta. And it's on her holistic lectures. It's like every time that you guys would talk about things like that on the show, something would happen, and where it would be relevant, or it would be one of those things I can put in a file cabinet, and I'm like, oh, you know what? You know, we were just talking about this on Beauty Talk, or Miss Marietta. I call her Miss Marietta because I don't call her Miss Marietta. That's Miss Marietta. she said this and that. And so, you know, going over the scripts and knowing how to read the scripts and gauge the scripts. And so that was one of the things that we had, you know, we had come together. We had, first you got to read the script. I mean, and I understand that we had got the script at, let's just say, we got the script Saturday. It was like something that just like happened just all of a sudden. The opportunity came and we was available to jump on it. And we got the script like Saturday, and production was like Monday. So So in between Saturday and Monday, so between Saturday and Monday, we had to at least read for the first couple of days what the, you know, what the flow of the script, the flow of the movie was, what scenes were calling for different things. And so that was definitely one of the things that that we did, was just trying to create a look and keeping it that same look, you know, throughout the entire process, because it wasn't time for us to come up and be like, oh, we're going to do this on this day and we're going to, you know, add this. No, it, we couldn't do that. We had to have something, you know, very simple, but yet look great on film for the entire shoot, because we just never, we never knew. We knew that when the talent came in the chair, we knew we were starting right at our basics. From whatever it is that they asked for, her skin and everything was already, was prepped. Her skin and her lash, we knew that. So if they said, oh, we're gonna add this particular scene, all that we had to do was just, you know, add whatever appropriate makeup, if any, for that particular scene that they requested.
And you know, another thing that I do, I always make sure in my setback I have options for lips, just in general. I'll have, like, a couple of lip palettes, and I'll have, like, you know, different eyeshadow palettes or something. Or I'll put, like, each actor will have their own little bag that I'll put all the stuff that I use on them. And if I know they have another scene for another day, I'll put, you know, a different option in the bag for eyeshadow. So if I want to change something, I try to do it where I'm just right there on set and I can change it on set, where I can take an eyeshadow and put it on top of what they already have. I can create a totally different look on top of another eyeshadow. You wouldn't even know that the eyeshadow that I had there at first was even there.
And you know what else, Tiffany?
Take the lipstick off and just add a different lip.
And you know what else? You know what else, Tiffany? You mentioned earlier about communicating and getting familiar with other departments. Like you said, wardrobe and makeup and even hair, everything goes hand in hand, but it's a good idea to go to the wardrobe department and find out from them. For instance, let's say it's the main female character that you're working with. Go to them and say, can you give me an idea of, like, all of the wardrobe that you pulled for this actress, for, you know, pretty much for the whole show, or what's their color palette? Like, if they're putting this particular actress in a lot of, let's say, mauve colors, you know, or, you know, a combination of mauve and pink or something like that, then
it was a dark film.
The makeup artist,
it was always in some dark.
Something dark. But if, as a makeup artist, you can go back and say, okay, I know what, you know, what the colors that they're going to have her in, no matter what outfit is, they're going to have her in these types of colors. So they can even show you some of the outfits that they pulled for the entire film, depending on what they have at that moment. And you can just kind of go back and say, okay, well, you know what? If I did her makeup shadow for her, and this is what I'll always use. And then, like my sister was saying, like, you know, if it's a situation where they say, okay, there's a change for the very next scene, the person has to change clothes. A lot of times, they're going to definitely give them the time to change their clothes because they have to change their clothes. But they're not going to necessarily always give you time to do their hair and makeup. Sometimes they'll ask you in that morning, hey, we get to see such and such. If you do her hair and makeup on set, how long is it going to take? Is there going to be a change? We're going to have, like, maybe about a 15-minute window. Can you do something in 15 minutes? So just like my sister was saying, you have the eyes. You can either work with, if you have a select palette already going on, you can work with that basic palette, add one or two things, or take away something, you know what I mean? Whatever you need to do. You know, and I always get those little, you know, MAC has those eyeshadow palettes, the little
quads.
I always, when we're on the trailer, you know, you might be working from your Big D palette. But whatever colors that you use, I would always take it out of that, put it in one of those quads, throw it in the makeup bag so that's there. But sometimes I got in the habit of putting a couple of quads together, like what I've used in this look, but just also putting a quad together of just some other colors that go along with that color palette with the wardrobe. And then that way you just have that stuff there so that 15 minutes,
change her clothes and whatever you need to do to her hair, makeup, touch her hair, makeup, you have that time to kind of work that in there without having to go back to your trailer or your makeup room and grab anything and all of that. You have it with you. But one thing I wanted to say is listening to you talk, you are very smart and you're a thinker. And I think that you are going to be, if that's the direction you want to continue to go in, I think you're going to be an excellent film and television maker. I really do. Because I'm listening to the things that you say. Some of the things that we suggest, you've already did it and thought about it. So basically, I feel like anything, sorry, I'm losing my earpiece, anything that comes up, you can have a quick solution to it. Very, very fast. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to be good.
Anyway, got it. Thank you so much. That is, like I said, hearing that come from you, and just the things that you just said, and I was just sitting there thinking, like, okay, yes, me and Kristen did that. Like, talking to the wardrobe people and just getting an idea, having makeup palettes and things, and just switching out the look, the things that you just pretty much said, things that, again, we just learned, especially on this particular set, this was like, okay, this is what we're going to do to make things a little bit easier, because it was just me and her. And the things that, everything that you just said, the things that we did. And so, again, to hear it reinforced and knowing, and then even the, encouragement, if you will, and the push just kind of just furthers the drive. Because I can really be honest and sharing with you is that, you know, even here in Michigan, I did not think that I would be able to do film. I was like, oh, my God, I got to go somewhere. I got to, I got to be out in Atlanta, and I got to be in L.A. or in New York or Louisiana and wherever it is that they're doing, you know, big production films now. And things started coming to Michigan. And then there was one particular show that you had said, one of you guys had said, you said, keep working on those, you know, the independent projects, because it could lead to something greater. And it's nothing wrong with your independent projects, because you got to start.
Not at all.
Somebody said that on the show, and it encouraged me to go, you know, to still, you know, do what I need to do to pay the bills, because I consider myself a great, you know, bridal makeup artist, and I can do your special events, and I can do all of that. But my passion is film and television. That is exactly where I believe that the area that God is calling me to is just the opportunity to work on big feature films, or any of the independents have not become as big feature films just as of yet. But I'm just believing God that there is just one opportunity. He's going to lead me, and he's going to guide me and put me in a place where I'm going to be able to do exactly what my heart's desire in this makeup industry. But I do know that is where I focus.
Well, you know, and a few minutes earlier, I was sitting here thinking while you were talking, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I really wish one day there's an opportunity, like when my sister and I are working together, there's an opportunity for us to bring in show who follow us, who want to do film and television. I'm just praying for a day where we can bring in some people, and it doesn't matter whether they're in the union or not, but just bringing in some people who could come in and work maybe a day or two, depending on where you live. You know, you got to make it work for you. But bringing in some people where we could just come in and just give them an opportunity to get that feature film or television series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's a couple of days or whether it's a day, you know. But just as you were talking earlier, I was sitting thinking about that, and I was like, oh, my God, Tiffany would be a great person to offer that experience to. So if there's ever a time, I would love
I would love to. Well, I would love, and I was telling my husband, I was like, I got to get down to Atlanta. And I got to meet them. I got to touch them. I'm like, I touch them on, say, you know, because you also, you know, we learn taking, you know, creating relationships and being present. That's one of the things that I learned in Crystal Wright's class. Creating relationships and being present and being in the moment and keeping, maintaining those relationships, even if you don't necessarily touch a person, that person may see your work. If you're just communicating via social media, we are more touchy through social media, but we're also, I guess you can say, we're far from each other in social media,
mm-hmm.
Because it can create a barrier, but it also can build great relationships. And I look at you guys as mentors, mentors, because you are where where I aspire to be, and you're doing things that I want to be able to do in my career, even with your brand of the brand of makeup. You know, I'm just trying to, like, okay, well, can I do movies and can I have a makeup brand? You know, just with the brand, like, I desire Aisha Tiffany. Well, Aisha Tiffany is a brand. And mm-hmm. I had to get that in my mindset, just like you guys. You know, Beauty Talk, Beauty Illusions, it's a brand. It's mm-hmm. Denise and Denise. That is, they're a brand. When you hear them,
right.
You know what they're associated with, and that's exactly how I desire Aisha Tiffany makeup artistry and aesthetics to be. And that's just hearing, like I said, just hearing you guys say that, and I don't even know what to say. I'm like, I'm like floored, first of all, because I'm like, am I really on the phone with these ladies? Oh, my goodness. And who knows who's listening and who's going to listen later on. But I just believe, again, that God gives you opportunities and he opens doors. And this time and this season, and he ordained this particular moment in this particular conversation. And I was one of the ones that was shy, that wouldn't say anything, but I could tweet all day. But I wouldn't, raise my hand or, press the button. And when you call my name, I said, well, I can't just sit back now and just be an outsider. This is an opportunity. I need to talk, press one, bam. And before I do it, God said hello.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank and praise God for it.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so happy that we were able to get you on, get your questions answered, and you were able to share your experience.
Now she has one more now.
Oh, that's right. She has one more, and then Karen has one.
Yeah, I have that one ready too. So Tiffany's question is it okay to say no to promotional exposure events that charge a ticket fee but expect you to work for free? Absolutely.
Okay. Amen.
I mean, because it's obvious that, money's coming from somewhere, right?
From somewhere.
You see that.
Yeah.
So it's okay to say no. But if you felt like you wanted to do it even though they weren't paying you, that's okay too. But never feel bad about saying no.
Because there are some events. Like, I limit myself to, I will do three events. I give myself three promotional, quote unquote, events a year. And I'm very strategic about saying yes. But then some people, once you do one, it seems like people are always coming at you for, they're always like, well, you did so-and-so for free. No, there was a reason why. I'm led.
Mm-hmm.
I was led to do that for free, and that led to something else.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't know what this event is doing. I have no interest in, I guess you can say, I don't know what is Moet and jeans or,
mm-hmm.
doing promotion, just
right.
Mm-hmm. The Moet and jeans fashion show. And not knocking the artists that do that, because if that's your genre and that's what you do, then more power to you. But
mm-hmm.
that's not something that I'm doing. But it seems like sometimes when you do one, like, everybody hears, they may hear about it, and they're like, oh, okay, yes, she did it for free. No, I did it for free. Because little do you know, I dealt with that issue when I was a kid. Or I have a friend. There has to be some type of connection for me to be able to do it. you know, do it for free. And I understand that you do a lot, but I guess I'm just kind of wondering, like, is it really okay? Because I don't consider myself one as just starting out. You know, I'm not fresh out the gate or anything like that. And sometimes you just get asked, and I'm like, okay, am I saying no? Should I be saying no or should I be saying yes? But I'm using my product. Y'all charging a ticket fee.
You know what? Think about what works for you.
Right. And there are jobs that I say no to that are paid jobs and good paying jobs.
Yeah.
Just like you said, you know, you were being led to certain things. That's how I go about choosing my jobs. I don't, you know, that job has to speak to me in a way. It's going to be something that, you know, that I can do and not feel bad about it later. It's got to be something that, like you mentioned, something that I'm interested in. You know, every job is not for everybody. And every job is definitely not for me. So I kind of pick and choose what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. And it doesn't even matter if I like really need a job. I'm not going to do everything.
Right, right. And that's where I'm at. Like, cause now I do this full time, like completely. This is. I've been blessed with a husband who says, "Do what you love. I got everything else. Do what you need to do. I'm not going to stop you. You want to do film, you want to do make whatever it is that you want to do, as long as you're happy." I've been blessed with that type of husband, thank God. However, it's also one of the things, like, I need to be able to make money, too, because I have responsibility. I got training. I have business expenses. I have household personal expenses. And I have twins. I have 7-year-old daughters. So I also who want to be makeup artists. And so I also have expenses. So a lot of things you can't really, you know, do. You can't do everything for free. You know, you can't do everything for free. But I guess you could say I was feeling some kind of way, and I said, well, let me just ask people that's been in it for a long time.
Yeah.
And somebody else may have this same, you know, I'm sure there's somebody out there that has the same question, you know, where they're been feeling like, okay, but when you get the pay things, and you're charging $50 a ticket, you're charging $50. Well, you have to pay your vendor, your place, your rental place. You have to pay your caterer. You have to pay you know, your DJ and all of this other stuff. I'm sure that they're not doing it for free.
You know what, Tiffany? when you find gigs like that, one of the things you should say, okay, if you're not going to pay me, any way that you could give me a kit fee, you know, something that replaces the cost of my product, or ask for gas money. You know, don't be afraid to ask for something, you know, because, you know, I don't know what your rate is, but let's just say, for instance, for like 4 hours, your rate is, you know, maybe $400. Let's just say $400. Okay, say you would charge $400 for 4 hours. Well, they are not willing to pay that, but they should be able to pay $50 for gas.
Something.
And anywhere from $35 to $50 for your kit. They should be able to do that.
Now, I had one particular event at, and it was for a major company. They were doing something locally, and I went back and I asked, because I'm like, one, it's a major company. It's a major company. Why are they asking people to do? Certainly, you have it. And I said, okay, well, maybe they have a nonprofit division of their company. I was like, well, is it possible that I can get a letter indicating for this amount of time, can I get like a 501c3, a receipt that I can write off on my taxes? For, you know, for this particular time, since this is a not, you know, since you're doing it under the auspices of this particular illness and the season that we're in, and you want me to do it for free, do you have a nonprofit division of your company or something separate from your company where, you know, I may be able to get a letter, and you know, for this particular amount, so that I can write the time off or something on my taxes? They didn't even have that. And it was not something that they were willing to pay for. Now, gratefully, when I got there, the person who actually was over and putting it on, she gave us a card, and in that card it had a Visa gift card, and that was, I was grateful for that because I wasn't expecting it. But even the business, sometimes your bigger companies, you know, your corporations, they kind of expect it. And I'm like, okay, well, okay. So those are some of the things that I guess you could say I've kind of encountered and have been feeling, you know, some kind of way. And I know the power of saying no, and I know the power of saying yes. So saying no is not an issue, but it just kind of seemed like the floodgates were opening. When you do one, it's like, I don't know, they get a buzz, and the floodgates open, and everybody starts coming at you with different things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And Brandy at Brandeis Beauty, she says that she's a single mom, so she's very selective as to what she does for free. But then just like Santara responded, as you should be, single or not. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think, again, I think for everybody out there listening, it's all about what works best for you. And like I said, they may not want to pay a rate, but don't be afraid to ask for a kitty, you know, mm-hmm. or get. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. They want something from you. They should be able to do something for you, you know. But mm-hmm. And so even if they're saying, no, we can't do that, again, it's up to you to decide if that job is for you or not. It could be a situation where your resume builds,
mm-hmm.
and you really, this job would be really great for your resume. Then, you know, if you can put up with the fact that you're not going to get anything out of it, do it. But
mm-hmm.
I just really feel like when they're selling tickets, boy, that's a whole other element. You
yeah.
know? That's a whole
yeah.
other element.
Certainly. And that's exactly how it really gets when you, I guess you could say, as my grandma did, it just burns my biscuit when I see that. And, you know, you're not even given, they come to you immediately with the promotional and the promotional things. I'm going to put you on, you know, my Instagram, my Tumblr, and my Facebook and Twitter, and, you know, tweet your name and everything. And then you go to an event, you go to the event page, and the event invitations only have like 15 people, and 10 people like the site. And so you're like, okay, well, you know, where's the promotion there? So, like I said, we're still in some kind of way about it, but you guys certainly cleared it up going forward.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for calling in with your questions. We appreciate it.
Oh,
yeah,
really. I
appreciate that.
Let me ask you this. Oh, no problem. Are you calling from your cell phone?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, check it in a little bit.
I did.
I'm sorry?
I think, okay, I'll check it.
Okay.
Okay, yep, I'll check it.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Yep. I sure will.
All right.
I sure will. And thank you. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
Both. Like I said, you guys, I love you guys so much. Like, you, like y'all just don't know that, you know, you guys, when one day we'll share, we'll have lunch. We will have lunch, and we will sit down and be able to share. But I thank you both for the things again that you, the people that you are in my life. Little that you don't know me, but you guys do have a great impact and a great influence, not just on me, but as in the beauty industry as a whole. And you know, again, you taking the time to educate other artists and really being genuinely passionate about it, and sticking through, you know, all of the trends and, taking us with it and saying what trainings we should have and what we should be doing, and bringing on makeup artists, people that are, you know, are actually in the industry and are experts. Nobody's doing that but y'all. That
mm-hmm.
I know of. So I thank you, and more than you know.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank
and
your words
mean a lot more than you would know. So thank you very much. We appreciate that.
No problem at all. And I don't know. I wasn't we'll, I guess we'll see you soon. I hope I didn't take up everybody's time.
If you did, I'm sure they learned something.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Ladies,
thank
have
you,
a
girl.
Great evening. My pleasure.
You
I love
too.
Both.
All right.
God, take care.
Love
bye
you too.
Bye.
All right. Love you too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Mhm.
All right, Sharon, Tina. She had a question.
Yes, her question was: in the retail setting, there's so much push on meeting quotas and less on the actual artistry. Any tips on how to counteract? Yes, I do have some tips on how to counteract, and I did see something out there, and hold on, my computer is doing something crazy. But I wish I could find it here. But my computer is really doing something crazy. Centaur, at the Gorgeous blog, responded to that. I'm trying to see if I can find it really quickly.
Okay, I have what she said here.
Okay, read that for me.
Okay.
It's pretty much what
again,
I was having to respond.
Again, Sharon, Tina's question was, in the retail setting, there's so much push on meeting quotas and less on the actual artistry. Any tips on how to counteract that? So Sitar
mm-hmm.
said, it's a business. If you're looking to increase yours, then look at the client as practice while filling your quotas.
Exactly. So basically, that's exactly what I was going to say. When you're in that retail environment, it's a business. It's not your business, but it's a business. So you're there to, you were hired to do a job. So you must do the job that they're asking you to do, because trust me, if you don't meet those quotas, you know, time after time after time, you know, more than likely they'll be looking to fire you. But it is a business. It's their business. So that's the task at hand. So that's the task that you must, you know, that you must do. But also while you're there, and when you see a client and you have the opportunity to do a client's makeup, then, number one, you give the client what they're asking for. It's not about, you know, you wanting to get really fancy and, you know, wing out the liner or whatever. If they're asking for winged out liners, then fine, give them that. But if they're not, give the client what they're asking for. And then if you have an opportunity to talk to the client a little bit about certain tips that you have, you know, if you have the time for that, then do that. If you have the time to get fancy and, you know, and try this, you know, smoky eye you've been dying to try with a certain color, then fine, do that. But first and foremost, you're there to do the job that the particular retail establishment has asked you to do, and that's to meet their quotas. So that's number one and will always be number one. And then, again, when the client is asking for something or asking for a specific look, then you must give them what they're asking for, or at least attempt to give them what they're asking for. Third, like I said, the whole artistry side of it, unfortunately, is just something that's going to have to take a back seat to everything else. You know, mm-hmm. while you're there, you're able to do the job, doing the makeover, then great. That's just counted as practice, because that's all it is practice. And sometimes you won't get the opportunity to do some of the things that you like to do. Even at a brand such as MAC, you know, where they get really creative, they still have to meet quotas.
Basically.
So that's
going to be your. I was going to say you basically make it your business to be about their business, and if it bothers you so much, that you have to make these quotas, fill these quotas, and sell all this product, if it bothers you that much, then basically what I say is leave and keep it moving, because I was never a big fan of that, but I always went in and did what I had to do. And then when I got good and tired of it, I moved on. So basically,
mm-hmm.
if you really want to use that counter experience as an opportunity to hone your craft, like you said, you know, work out some things, like you're trying to get that smoky eye right or you're trying to get this right, and you want to use those clients as practice, like Santara said, then you have to learn to be very patient with the fact that they want you to sell. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
just the name of the game. Basically,
because that's the thing. When you're at a Macy's or a Nordstrom or a Saks or Neiman's or wherever it is, you know, that you're working at a cosmetics counter, more than likely you're hired as a salesperson, not necessarily a makeup artist. The fact that you do makeup is a bonus.
Right.
You're hired as a salesperson, actually. So that's your job, to be a salesperson.
unfortunately.
Right, unfortunately.
It would be nice if you could just go and do creative stuff, and but,
But exactly, just like Tiffany was saying, use your counter experience to work on your craft. Or did you just say that?
Well,
or did you both just say that?
I think we both. I think we both just said that.
Okay. Maybe she's just repeating what you said. But basically, that's really what that time is for. Use it to work
exactly.
on your craft. You know, even if you don't get to work on a smoky eye or you don't get to work on your winged liner, you know, use it just as basically just doing an eye, you know, work on getting eye makeup perfected, brows perfected, or, you know, getting that skin perfected, you know, getting that foundation on and matching that skin tone, you know, use it for that. It's practice.
And Brandy says counter experience is great for honing your people skills and communication. That is,
I was afraid to read that one because I didn't know if you said that already.
Oh,
so,
well, you know what? Right. But I do want to say that that is so important because there are going to be times when you're at that counter. And it's the same thing happens in the makeup chair, like when you're on a film set or you're on a photo shoot or what have you. But there are going to be times when you're at that counter and someone's not going to be happy about what you did when you look in the mirror. Something, oh, I didn't like that smoky eye. I don't like how you winged my liner or whatever the situation may be. But there are going to be some times when, you know, people may say things to you in a way that you may not like. But you have to remember that you're at your job and that you have to be professional. So you have to, you know, be smart about it and think about how you would respond to something like that. And, you know, working at that counter, it's public. You've been out in public before, and you've seen people show off and not act so nice. And you probably made a comment about, oh, my goodness, I can't believe they said this to the salesperson or they acted this way. So it's the same thing. You get a chance to be in front of these people and really work on your people skills and how you communicate and interact with others. Very important, and learning that now will take you very far. So no matter what area in makeup you're in.
Yes, absolutely. Now, there was this last, I don't know how much time we have left, but I want to
7 minutes.
Mention this last question, and we'll probably have to do this again to get some of these other questions answered, but I do want to mention this last question, and I know a lot of people, you know, have thoughts about this particular question. But earlier, Tawana Jones asked, being a freelancer, how do you negotiate contracts or your salaries? Mm. And the very first thing I said to her as far as negotiating your contract or salary is understanding and knowing the business that you are in, first and foremost. Understanding and knowing the business that you are in. She was working on a independent project, and I think this is where this question came from. So let's just start there. If you're working on an independent project, okay, or you're working on a film project, any project for this matter, but let's just use film as an example. And I told her, if you are in the union, if you're in the hair and makeup union, there's a contract for every budget. If the budget is, you know, $100,000, the budget is $2, if the budget is $2 million, or if the budget is $20 million or $200 million, there's a contract for every budget amount. So if you're in the hair and makeup union and someone's asking you to do this job, first of all, if you're in the union, if the producers don't tell you what the budget is, you can always find that out by calling your union. And the union will be able to tell you which contract you'll be working under if you take that job. So with that in mind, there are basic rates that's called, help me out here, what do we call it? It's basically like our minimum wage type of rate for each contract. Like each contract has a bare scale is what it's called. it's the scale rate. And so each contract has a scale rate, like, and that's like the minimum that they can pay you, but you can always negotiate higher. So just knowing that when you're in the union on these projects, you have some place to start when it comes to negotiating. But just know that each contract comes with a minimum rate that they have to pay you. So if you ask for more and they don't give you more, then you know they can't go below a certain rate, and that's all in a contract. If you're on an independent film and you're not in a contract, like I said again, first thing, the important thing to do is know the business that you are in, okay? Kind of having an idea of what some of the daily rates are when people are working with a certain amount of money, when people are working with a certain budget, and understanding what else goes into putting this project together, you know, cameras, you know, catering, any type of vehicles that may be needed for the show. So, you know, certain things are going to cost money. It's not up to you to know how much that stuff costs, but just knowing there's certain other things that are going into this. So if you're on an independent project and you're going in there asking somebody for $400 a day on an independent project, just know that you probably more than likely will not get $400 a day on this independent project. Because if they can pay you $400 a day to do makeup on an independent project, then it's not independent.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So just know that you're probably going to get paid much less than that. So we're looking at, you know, probably somewhere around $100 a day, $125 a day, sometimes maybe $200 a day. It just depends on what their particular budget is. But just kind of like having those figures in mind when you're doing stuff like independent projects. It'll probably go anywhere from $75 to, I would say, to $200 a day, depending on their particular budget for that project. So just keep that in mind. So that when you go in there, I always say, you know, kind of aim high when you're negotiating. Just maybe start at $200 and then, you know, see if they can kind of meet you in the middle a little bit without going less than, like, $75 to $100. You know, and just see, you know, where you come up from there. But definitely, again, knowing your business and knowing how these budgets work and how much money you're probably going to be able to get out of them within certain budgets. I talked about the union part of it.
We're going to have to continue this show next week because we are completely out of time, completely, and I think we have a whole lot more questions we need to respond to.
Right, but if will the show continue to go on if they're on the phone line?
No.
It won't? Okay, I was trying to get my last point out there before you totally interrupt me. And I was going to – my last point is don't be afraid to ask for what you want. Don't be afraid to ask for what you want, and don't be afraid to lose the job. So don't go into it thinking, gosh, If I ask for a lot of money, if I ask for what I think I'm worth, then they might say no and I might lose the job. So I don't want to lose the job. I want to get the job. So I'm going to go in much lower. Don't do that. If you don't get the job, you just don't get the job. It wasn't meant for you anyway. But if you go in there asking for, let's just say, $1,500, and they say they don't have $1,500, then just ask, well, what do you have, and see if they can meet you halfway. You know, if you know in your mind you don't want to go below $800, then make them meet you halfway somewhere if they want you. And if they can't meet you halfway, then it's okay. Just walk away from it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, look, you guys, we are running out of time. I believe we're going to have to pick this show back up next week because we have a lot more questions to go over. We have completely run out of time, and I really just thank you and appreciate you all for listening and tuning in, for all your tweets. I'm so happy to see Brandy and Tara out there. Let's see who else is out there. Sharon Tina, and I believe Felicia. Felicia Yvette was out there. Thank you all for joining us and for tuning in. Please tune in next week. I think we are going to go ahead on and do a part two of this. Finish up our question.
But again, thank you guys just for being there and being very supportive. We really do appreciate it. Thank you, Tiffany, for sharing. I'm so excited about what's going on with you and all that you're learning. And for all of you out there who are listening and learning, I'm so happy about it. It makes me feel good when you all let us know, feel about what we're sharing. Because now we really know that you're paying attention, that, you know, the people are really listening to what we're saying and really going out there and paying attention to it. So we appreciate that. So everyone have a wonderful week, and we will be right back here next Sunday night. We'll continue with the questions next Sunday. Everyone have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.